Napa know-how. A Napa guy knows that by the foot, there's no better ride than an old station wagon. Room for six people facing forward, two people facing backward, and a whole lot of luggage, lumber, and bicycles haphazardly strapped to the roof. If you can parallel park that beast, you can park anything. And with some quality parts and a little Napa know-how, you can keep your land ship running longer, stronger. It's not obsolete. It's a rare treasure. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are listening to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast.
We'll all be waiting for next time. Mavs Fanatic. Even if you had that cute money. Three girls get married. Carlisle, the Mavs Fanatic. Mavs Fanatic, our team cinematic. Throwing up shots like the semi-automatic.
Welcome to the Mavs Fanatic Podcast.
Yo.
Recording on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Mavericks about to play the 76ers tonight.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Nick Engstead, joined, as always, Tana Turner.
The one and the only.
The official amateur GM of the Dallas Mavericks.
Wrong. Taman, the fan. The one and the only.
So, we had a great week as
it's
Dallas
been,
Mavericks.
This been is, pretty
Has this
pretty
been
great.
The best week of the year for Dallas Mavericks fans?
Absolutely.
Has
it's,
to be, right?
It's been an incredible week. Everything's going very well.
Because fan favorites are doing well. We'll talk about Yogi Ferrell, of course.
Actually, we'll talk about Kevin Yogi Ferrell.
We'll talk about Kevin. We'll talk about Kevin Yogi. We'll talk about his mom. We'll talk about his family.
Right.
Seth Curry is doing well. He's been great. Everyone loves Seth Curry.
Seth Curry's the man.
And Harrison Barnes is just, you know, staying as
he's
consistent
being
as ever.
Barnes as he can be.
Wes Matthews had some good moments.
And remember, and we won't say it, but remember, we are a team, but we're an underrated team. And Nick knows what I mean.
So if you saw us tweet that out, after the Mavs beat the Cavaliers in
that was
one of the most improbable victories.
Yeah, who would have thought that?
Gosh.
That was so... Like,
who knew that Kevin Love was so important for the Cavaliers?
Hey. We don't have JJ.
So if you haven't been paying attention over the last week, this is where the Mavericks are. They're 4-1 in their last five games with wins over the Lakers, the Knicks, which is kind of funny because those are our teams.
I don't like the Knicks. I never have.
With wins over the Lakers, the Knicks, and then the Spurs and the Cavaliers in back-to-back nights.
Yeah.
And then
that was so mind-boggling. They beat the Spurs and the Cavs on back-to-back nights. That is it. And by the way, remember, the Spurs game was in San Antonio.
Yeah,
which made it more impressive.
It's hard to win in San Antonio.
Right.
So, and the Mavs are also 7-3 in their last 10. They're 3.5 games back from the 8th spot in the Western Conference.
I love it.
After they beat the Cavaliers, I said to anybody that I could find, this team is making the playoffs.
They're going to make the playoffs. I said it after they whomped the Lakers.
Like, and you're okay with that now.
I didn't
you've
say I was,
to,
I didn't say I was
with
okay
that.
With that.
You
I
got excited,
say
though.
It was, yeah, I'm excited, but I didn't say I was
this
okay
this man
with
is a fraud. He was as excited as anybody for this team to beat the Cavs.
I am. I was very happy. Listen, like, I'm so complex because obviously, like, when you're a fan of a team, you want to see them do well. I don't like watching the Mavericks lose.
Of course not.
I want to see them make the playoffs. I want them to go on this improbable run and do something that nobody thinks they're going to do because it'll be a great story. But I'm also a realist. And I think that if they make the playoffs, they're going to get swept in the first round. And, like, it won't – what are you going to do with your future? That's what I'm concerned about. Because Dirk's not getting any older. Dirk's not getting any younger. Excuse me. Wrong terminology.
Dirk is getting older.
Wrong terminology.
By the day.
Yeah, Dirk's not getting any younger. Darren Williams is gone next year. Andrew Bogut's gone next year.
Probably.
Like, who's going to be on this team for the future? That's what I'm kind of looking at because I don't see this Mavericks team winning a championship. And if they make the playoffs, I don't really see them doing much. So I'm kind of looking at the future. So does part of me want them to make the playoffs so they can make this improbable run that nobody thinks of? Yes. But part of me wants them to not make the playoffs so, like, they can start building for the future, something that they have not done up to this point.
And I would say that they have. They have in their own way, in the way that they could, with the assets and with the opportunities that were presented to them. Carlisle said in that press conference where he said, we're a crap team, but we're an underrated crap team.
And by the way, that's a nice way of saying it.
We'll say crap, but he did not say crap. Carlisle said that. that this team is all old, so it's all like, you know, 30-year-olds.
Yeah, but they're not old, but they're not young.
Or under 26.
Right.
No, they are. They're old.
They're old and young.
And young at the same time.
Right.
They don't have a lot of the guys in their prime, you know? Like Harrison Barnes not technically in his prime yet. I mean,
right.
That 27 to 30-ish range is probably an NBA player's prime. So they have players like that. One of those players is Seth Curry.
Seth.
Even though he's 26, he's right in his prime.
Right.
You know, right there. Last five games that the Mavericks are 4-1, he's averaging 17 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, or about a steal, and under 2 turnovers in 33 minutes. He's shooting 46% from the field, 42% from 3, and 100% from the free throw line. Seth Curry is doing things that everybody hoped he would. You know, he's coming in, he's starting, he's playing pretty good defense. I mean,
right.
Against Kyrie Irving, he had a couple good, really good possessions, and Kyrie was super frustrated in that game, especially afterwards, where we were both in the locker room, and he walks by me, he's, you know, in a towel, he's all frustrated, and he sees the media scrum around LeBron, and I was just sort of, you know, orbiting around the media scrum. I didn't really want to get in there.
By the way, speaking of LeBron, we got to talk about that.
Oh, of course.
LeBron and Barkley.
And Kyrie said, man, this is the best win of this season for this team. And he said, damn team, but you know. So, yeah.
Well.
He was mad. He was upset.
Listen,
he was upset that the Mavs fans and the media were acting like it was a Super Bowl.
Like, I understand the frustration
yeah.
from Kyrie. You just lost a game to a team that you probably should have beaten.
Definitely should have beaten.
You know, at the end of the day, this is something that they know that you never – anything can happen in professional sports, particularly in basketball. Anybody can win on any given night.
Like LeBron going 6-7 in a calendar month.
7-8.
7-8, still
first,
under, yeah,
first
still under 500.
In his, first time since – I can't talk. First time since the third season in his career that he's done that. He did it his third season playing with Cleveland. This is the first time he's done it.
Do you think that this is the most talented team he's ever been a part of? Because even if you look back at those teams with Bosch and Wade and him, who else did they have on it? This team's got Korver. This team's got Channing Frye. You got a Battier-type player.
That
you got a Udonis Haslam-type player.
That is
but
very interesting.
If not the most talented, it's the second most. Or
yeah,
one
I would
of
say
the most.
This one and maybe the...
Because that team that the Mavericks played in 2011, that team was not as talented as this
team. The 2012 Heat, 2013 Heat, those were some pretty talented teams too. I mean, in equivalent to the team that he has now, with LeBron and with Wade and Bosh,
yeah,
and
to give credit to Wade, he led a team to a finals, and Kyrie probably wouldn't.
Right, Mike Miller played well. You know, Shane Battier played well. You mentioned those finals, so it's like, I mean, the equivalency. Yeah, I would say, you know, those two are right at the top, and I mean, in regards to Wade too, and
they all had James Jones on them.
I'm still under the belief, and I may be a little biased here. But those teams were Shaq's teams.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, those
Shaq teams definitely
Shaq's
came in, brought some veteran leadership.
There's only one reason why I say that.
Dwayne Wade was the best player.
A lot of people forget this, though. I think Wade was the best player, but Shaq was the most valuable. Because in 2005,
you're talking to a guy with a Shaquille O'Neal Miami Heat jersey in his closet.
Right. Well, listen. Well, you'll probably agree with me this there. In 2005, the Heat won the finals in 2006, right?
Yeah.
And in 2005, they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals to who? Detroit. What happened in that series? Shaq got hurt. Heat lost the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat would have probably
lost.
The
Lakers were in the 2004.
The Heat probably would have won. Well, yeah, the Detroit ended up losing the finals to the Spurs. But Miami probably would have won the Eastern Conference Finals in 2005 had Shaq not gotten hurt in those Eastern Conference Finals. That was big right there. That's the reason why they didn't go to the finals.
Yeah. And the reason why that they have this improbable Pistons team. That
right. And again, in 2006, if Shaq hadn't have been there, do you think that Miami would have won?
No, definitely not.
Exactly.
No. He was definitely the second best player,
exactly.
And so, by far.
Right. Wade was the best player, but Shaq was the most valuable to that team.
Oh. Well, without Wade, what would they do? Nothing.
True, but
You got Alonzo Mourning and Shaq.
Remember, when Shaq got traded there, Miami became a championship contender automatically.
Automatically. He was definitely still good.
Right. To me, Shaq is the guy who literally gets them over the hump.
Of course.
Right. So that's why I think he's the most valuable.
That's hard because you can't do it one without the other.
Well, right. I mean, but since Wade was there first, and I know he was younger, but he was there first, and they weren't a championship contender. Shaq got there and made that team a contender.
Yeah, so the Cavs are going. You know, they're bottoming out. They have do they have a worse record than the Mavs in January? I think they do.
Ooh,
I feel like that's the thing. I'll fact check it.
Yeah.
So the Cavaliers are trending down, and now I wish
they're
going
to be they're going to be okay though.
Oh, they'll be fine.
I'm not worried. They're going to the finals.
They'll still make it to the finals.
I don't care less about the rest of the Eastern.
But I wish we would have had David on now instead of before the game to talk to David Zavac about all this Cavs stuff. So shout out to him. That's a good podcast. If you want to talk, you know, if you want to listen to all that stuff about the Cavs, we go into depth about their team and what's going on with them. So yeah, that Cavaliers game was crazy.
It was. That was a fun game to be a part of. But you know, I have to. You might get mad at me for doing this, but I'm gonna call out the Mavericks fan base.
Ooh,
I was a little disappointed at the AAC.
Hashtag make AAC MFFL again.
Yes.
I'm all about
that. As great as that win was, I was a little disappointed in the crowd noise at
AAC.
You
should have been there for the Lakers and the Knicks games.
Right.
That. We had this past week where they're going on this you know winning streak or this you know slew of wins.
Right.
They played three of the most popular teams in the NBA and they showed up.
Right.
The other team's fans showed up.
What made me so upset was, and I was saying this the other night at the game, we're beating the defending champs. At one point in the fourth quarter, the Mavericks were up by 17, and the crowd was just like, "Oh, okay." Like, what was that?
The most excited.
We should have been pumped.
The most excited I think they got was when LeBron was at the free throw line, a video that I posted on Mavs Fanatic. So go back and check that out, that video on Mavs Fanatic Twitter page. When LeBron went to the free throw line, they were booing the mess out of him.
Right.
but that you should get more excited when your team is doing well than when, you know, LeBron. Your cheers should be louder than boos.
It was like, and like you said, like, I understand there was a lot of LeBron fans there. And I don't say Cavs fans. I literally say LeBron fans.
Oh, totally.
And a few Kyrie fans.
There's a bunch of Kyrie jerseys.
But like, MFFLs, you got make. What'd you say? Make AAC MFFL.
Hashtag make AAC MFFL again.
I like it.
I'm in on it. So, Seth Curry, I asked this to the Seeing Stars guys, and I'll ask it to you, Taman Turner. What's Seth Curry's ceiling?
His ceiling is he is a good.
By the way, while you think about that. What do you think the Mavs' record was in January? I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
I'll answer your first question, and then I'll answer the second one. With Curry, I think he will be a good backup point guard.
Like a good third guard.
Yeah.
Because he can play both spots.
Right. He can play the one and the two.
And his defense isn't atrocious enough to, you know.
I think he'll be good. And there will be moments where he looks really good. In a way, I know they're not the same type of guard,
okay.
But this is where I say, like, ceiling-wise, like, kind of like J.J. Barea, where, like, now, like I said, they're not the same player,
sure.
But there are moments where J.J. looks like a superstar, and then he kind of comes back down to earth.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of feel like it'll be with Seth Curry. Like, there will be moments where we're like, oh, is that Seth or is that Steph? And then there will be
Mark Followell will definitely mess it up,
right? And then there,
Derek Harper.
Right? And he'll have a few games like that, a stream of games like that. But then he will come back down to earth, and he'll be what we expect.
Yeah, he could be a really good third guard,
right.
On a championship team,
right?
You think?
Yeah, I can agree. Yeah.
In the next couple games. So, answer my other question though. We were talking about the Cavaliers' record. They're 7-8 in January. What do you think the Mavs were in the month of January?
The Mavericks were.
They played eight and seven. They played 14 games.
They were eight and six.
I was close.
I said 8-7.
They had a better record than the Cavs in the month of January.
Because I was thinking that they won these two.
Yeah.
I remember they won two over the Knicks and the Lakers.
Yeah.
They beat the Suns in Mexico. That's five. What were the other three?
They beat the Suns in Mexico.
Right.
It's like those avocado commercials.
Right.
Avocado.
Right. Mexico. Mexico, we still love you, even though. Anyway.
I'm so glad that Trump tax, the 20% tax from imports from Mexico wasn't real.
Yeah, because I would do not want to spend like a lot of money. See, my favorite beer is Dos Equis.
Yeah,
and that comes from Mexico. So if I got to pay more for that, I'm going to be really angry.
Avocados, man. I eat guacamole avocados, so much, so much.
Wait, what were the other three? I named five.
Oh, the Mavs wins.
Yeah,
there's a Bulls win at Bulls, the Bulls.
Yep,
that Bulls team is a mess.
Yes, they're.
Oh my word.
Which I'm not mad at, actually, because I hate Rondo and I hate Wade. So, okay.
And then the Wizards win.
Wizards. That's seven.
That was a real forgettable game.
What was the eighth one?
Knicks, Lakers, Bulls. Oh, Timberwolves.
Timberwolves. Eight wins. I was close. I said 8-7.
Yeah.
8-7.
So the better record than the Cavs, whatever you want to take that as, right. Whatever you guys want to use that information for.
I have a question.
Go.
And I asked you this the other night. We have to put this on Twitter.
All right.
This is a trivia question for all MFFLs out there. How many, in 18 seasons, how many teammates has Dirk Nowitzki played with?
Oh, man.
That is a question of the ages.
Is this a question you have an answer for that I'm guessing?
Absolutely not. I have no idea what the answer is. But if somebody can give us the answer,
oh, if you would have told,
I would be
if
a very
you told me
man.
That, I would have gotten it. But
oh.
But yeah, well, that'd be an interesting thing to look up because
yeah,
I feel like
seasons,
it's been a lot.
Yeah, oh, of course it's been a lot.
In all 18?
In every yeah, all 18 seasons.
Because I've seen people do the how many teammates has he had since 2011?
How many has he had since 1990?
And Mavs Moneyball does a thing where they rank the teammates he's had since 2011.
Who's his best one?
I think Monte has been the number one. Monte and then Parsons, I think, were the top two. Which
yeah.
is that is a sad list.
Yeah.
Who do you think's at the bottom?
Who do I think is at the bottom of that list?
Yeah.
It's just fan-wise or like by actual player-wise?
It's by a writer at Mavs Fanatic.
Lamar
not Mavs Fanatic, Mavs Moneyball.
Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom was like down there. And Derek Fisher. And of course,
oh, yeah, Derek,
the
yeah,
worst
Rajon
one.
And, yeah,
Rajon Rondo. Yeah, it was the worst one.
Yeah,
by the way, Rajon
Rondo. Rondo was his worst teammate.
Yeah, oh, of course.
But like, Rondo wasn't the worst player. I thought Lamar Odom did nothing here. He was just as useful as I was. Like, seriously, like, he did nothing.
You were probably more useful because you didn't cost them a trade exception.
That's true.
And money.
Right? And it's like, you come here off of our championship season. Which, do you remember what Lamar Odom, I mean, you like the Lakers.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
remember what Lamar Odom's last play was as a Laker?
I don't, but you do.
I do. It was game four, Mavs Lakers, and Lakers got swept, and he went up and kind of gave Dirk like a hard knock, and he got thrown out of the game. And then minutes later, Bynum knocked Bray, and he got thrown out of the game. And that was like the beginning of the end for the Lakers.
Oh, man.
As we know it.
Yeah. No, we Lakers fans, they block out anything that's not a championship year. So,
what has it been for the last, 7 years for you guys?
Well, you got 16 years, 16 championships, and then the rest are, you know.
Let me ask you this. Do you hate Clippers fans?
So for the longest time, the Clippers fans were like the little brother. You know,
yeah,
like, it's just a little brother.
Like,
and so now
I feel like in comparison, because you know I lived in New York, I feel like they're the Mets.
Yeah,
like the Mets will never get what the Yankees get.
No. Even though they have made the World Series.
Right.
And they have won the World
Series. They've won two.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago, but.
But now that the Clippers are better, and there's still that curse there, so they still don't ever seem like a threat to take over the city, you know? It's always going to be a Lakers town. Anyway, we're done talking about those guys.
Yes.
Let's talk about a guy that we will never be done talking about. At least this week. So one of the reasons why the Mavericks have been so good in the last week, Seth Curry said this to, I think, Dallas Morning News, Sports Day. He said, me and Yogi need to be thrown into that best backcourt conversation with Steph and Klay Thompson over the past few days. What is your take on that statement from Seth Curry? That they need to be in the conversation for the best backcourts in the NBA.
Well, you know,
over the last week.
Well, I know sometimes when
they played two games together.
I know sometimes when good things happen, we all get a little excited and we may say a couple of things that we don't actually mean. But it's okay. We're going to roll with it because right now they're playing great. So let's go with it.
Yogi, over the last two games, so he's played two games with the Dallas Mavericks. 9 points against the Spurs, 7 assists, 2 steals, 0 turnovers in 35 minutes.
Beast.
His first game, 35 minutes.
Where was he last week?
Last week he was playing for the Long Island Nets. It was
my
really funny.
Town.
I was doing a live Instagram video. So if you don't follow Mavs Fanatic on Instagram, Mavs_Fanatic, I was doing a live Instagram video of the press conference from Carlisle after the Cavs game, and he was talking about Yogi. And he was like, "Yeah, last week
he was like in Long Island or Erie or something.
He was like Iowa or something like that." And somebody commented, and they said, "Dang, coach, do your homework."
Yeah, right.
but he was talking about where he played his games last week, not what team he was on.
Right.
So that was funny. But he came right in and played 35 minutes and was plus 12 against the Spurs. I mean, that's very telling of this guy. And then against Cleveland, 19 points, more than Kyrie Irving.
If I had told you that last week, when we were here on Saturday.
If you had told me that last week, I said, "Who's Yogi Ferrell?"
No, okay. On Saturday,
I would have no idea.
When we were in this studio and we had mentioned that the Mavericks had signed Yogi Ferrell, if I had told you on Saturday that on Monday he's going to have more points than Kyrie Irving,
I would say that Kyrie Irving did not travel with the team to Dallas.
See? Yogi!
19 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 4 steals, and only 2 turnovers in 37 minutes versus the Cavaliers.
It's a great game.
That's a great game. He's shooting 42% from the field.
His confidence level is
40% from three and 100% from the free throw line as well.
I asked Seth Curry
about
the confidence level of the team with Yogi Ferrell being
there. And we posted that video on our Mavs Fanatic YouTube, by the way, so check that out.
He said the confidence level is really high, especially when you have a guy like Yogi playing the way he's playing and against these top two teams like they played against Cleveland San Antonio.
And
that's huge.
You have to be. You have to be confident coming into these situations because – you get a 10-day contract. That's it. You get 10 days. Sometimes that's only 2 games or, you know, 3 or 4 games.
Right.
Why would that only be 2 games? I guess if you got a DNP a couple of games.
Right.
But that's only a couple games. You got to come in and you got to.
He played 37 minutes against the
Cavs. Reigning champions.
Yeah.
Like, and some of that is up.
That's like starter, superstar minutes.
Some of that is from necessity, though, because Bray was out.
Yeah,
Kevin
I get
Harris
it, but
was
you can guarantee. You can guarantee if he had been playing bad, Carlisle would have changed up the lineup.
And done something.
Right.
Yeah, if he was being a detriment to the team, you'd take him out. So here's a couple things on Yogi. Some information for you. He's 23 years old. So he's the youngest of these, you know, these young guards that we've been.
Wait, he's your age?
23.
He's younger than me.
He's younger than you. So I'll ask you about this later, but we have the Jonathan Gibson, Pierre Jackson, Yogi Ferrell position that they've been, these rotating cast of guards, they've been trying to fill this void in. So he's the youngest of all those guys. He's listed at 6 foot. I'm not sure he's 6 foot. Maybe five.
I don't think he's
maybe 5'10".
I was standing right next to him in the locker room pregame on Monday night.
Yeah.
There's no way in the world he's 6 feet. I think I'm taller than him.
I'm
5'11". So he's got to be 5'10"-ish, 5'11"-ish.
So isn't Jonathan Gibson listed at like 6'2" as well? He's not.
Is he?
Yeah. So he's actually from Indianapolis. He went to college at Indiana. He was there for 4 years. So he's one of those guys that, you know, came in, got his college, you know, stayed there the whole time, got his degree.
Indiana.
He was second team All-American, according to Sporting News, in 2016. He was third team All-American by the AP and the coaches' polls in 2016 as well. So he's up there. He's a really good player in college. He's first team All-Big Ten in 2015 and 16, and he was Big Ten All-Defense in 2016, which I think is a big deal that he was All-Defense, because you're getting a guy that's not going to come in like a Gibson or a Pierre Jackson that are going to be a negative on the defensive side. That Yogi Ferrell at least showed that he could play defense
in college. Yeah, he gave Kyrie fits on Monday night. He gave Kyrie fits on Monday night.
He totally did.
And so, that's impressive.
So Coach Carlisle tried to figure out where he was last week and where he was the week before. But this is Yogi's journey, his NBA journey. So he's at Indiana. He stays there 4 years. He's a senior. He graduates. He goes undrafted in the 2016 draft. And then he signs a contract with the Brooklyn Nets in July of this past summer. He didn't play any games for the Nets or anything like that. And then in October, he was waived by the Nets before the season even started. So they signed him, and then they waived him before the season started. And then in November, he signed a multi-year contract with the Brooklyn Nets. Multi-year not meaning all guaranteed. He played 10 games for the Nets between November and the beginning of December, and then he started playing games for the Long Island Nets when they sent him down. Then he was waived by the Nets in early December. played 18 games for the Long Island Nets. He averaged 18 points and 5.8 assists. 5.8 assists in the D League is like should be 12 assists in the NBA because those guys do not pass.
I mean, true.
That does not happen.
Basically 6 assists a game. So. Yeah.
And then of course, on January 28th, he signed a 10-day contract with the Dallas Mavericks. So we are just a few days into this, into the Yogi Ferrell experience. And there's already been reports that he's going to sign a multi-year deal with the Mavericks, which, okay, you're Donnie Nelson. You're Carlisle. You're Cuban. You're the whole front office. Right now, do you sign this guy to a deal?
How long?
Up to you. Do you lock it down right now? Is he worth it?
Well, you know, he signed a 10-day contract, so he's 5 days into that contract.
Yeah.
Right? They play tonight against Philadelphia, right? That's, what, game number 3 for him?
Yep.
And then they play Friday in Portland.
And he should do really well tonight.
Yeah, he should.
No Embiid, no Covington.
Right. They play Friday in Portland. That'll be 7 games. And then they play Monday in Denver. That'll be the end of his 10-day
Those
contract.
Are really important games.
Right. So, do I sign him yet? Because of the Mavericks, you know, point guard issues, yeah, you sign him. But you don't sign him to a multi-year deal. Not after 2 games. You got to be crazy. You got to be kidding yourself. You don't do that right
You
yet.
Don't.
After 2 games, absolutely not.
As a Mavericks team that needs to take risks like this, you do it.
No.
Where are you going to find another guy that's multifaceted like this, that can play defense, that can score, that can shoot the 3 ball?
How many times have we seen players play well for a game or 2 and then they come back down to earth?
Yeah, I mean, the ultimate one is Jeremy Lin.
Right, and this is a guy who I listen.
But he's at least showed skills.
I like Yogi, but if I'm Donnie, yeah, he's shown skills.
What are you losing if you give him like a minimum deal?
Oh,
throw the kid $1 million.
I don't think you give somebody $1 million after 2 games. I just don't think that's good business. I don't think that's good management. If I'm Donnie Nelson, like maybe I'm. Listen, at the end of this contract, let's see what happens. But if you're asking me right now, just after 2 games, absolutely not.
Hmm.
2 games is that's not enough for me.
So this is where the fundamental team tank team playoffs comes into mind because I'm like, yes, let's go all in on him. Sure, we'll wait till the end, but yeah, he's shown enough to me against 2 of the best teams in the NBA.
Right,
Carlisle said that the Spurs and Cavs were 2 of the top 3 teams in the NBA, and I would agree with him. They are,
and I 100% agree. But there's a reason why he's been back and forth with the D-League. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason.
He was waived twice by the Nets.
Right. Right. And
which I don't think that tells anybody anything.
It's not saying
but
much.
But everybody did pass him on the draft.
Okay, let's just hypothetically say, and I'm kind of playing devil's advocate with you, but I'm kind of playing like business smarts too. Let's say he doesn't have a good game tonight. Let's say he has 3 points. He's...
And 7 turnovers.
1 of 8 shooting. And I won't say 7. Let's say 4 turnovers.
Okay.
Now you kind of start thinking to yourself a little bit. Well, he didn't play that great tonight. It's 1 bad game. But he's on a 10-day contract. We know he played great against San Antonio, against Cleveland. His confidence level was high. It's his first. He's getting a new, fresh start.
Yeah.
But now against a team like Philadelphia, he doesn't play too great. You know, you have to ask me again at the end of this contract. I'm not saying I'm totally against it, but after 2 games, I wouldn't do it. Not right now. No way.
So I went back and I watched his senior speech on senior night when he played his last game for Indiana.
Right.
So he's given the speech and he, you know, says thank you to everybody, you know, everybody that he could think of. And he talked about his mom. His mom was a doctor, by the way.
Dr. Farrell.
He said that one time his mom... Now, he had a bad shooting game, and his mom texted him and said, "You better get your butt in the gym."
Good.
Gotta love a mom that'll go.
Love your mama.
He said his parents are his biggest fans and his biggest critics, all in the same place.
Good.
So gotta love a guy that has, you know, solid parents. Also, he brought up his girlfriend, who I think was a cheerleader or a dancer at Indiana. She was wearing some kind of uniform.
Right.
He brought her up and said, "This is my girlfriend. She's been helping me a lot. You know, she takes care of me a lot. You know, those late night massages."
Yeah.
And the whole crowd is just like, oh.
You're like, oh, we know what's going on over there, don't we?
That was the best part of that whole thing.
We all know what y'all are doing tonight.
That's on YouTube, by the way. Just search, you know, Yogi Ferrell Senior Night.
Right.
But yeah, no, I'm in on this guy. I think I think I've seen enough from him from just the two games.
Two games?
Sure. Against the best teams in the NBA.
Yeah, but again, what if he plays bad tonight against a bad team in the NBA?
Without their star players.
Yeah, so like, what do you say to that?
Yeah, so then we'll
again, cross let me, that bridge let me, when we come. True, but just let me ask you. And obviously we don't know, but if he has 3 points, 4 turnovers, 1 of 8 shooting tonight, what do you think you'll be thinking?
I will be thinking, well, there you go. He got that bad game out of him, and so now he can just, you know. At some point you're going to hit the rookie thing where you're like, oh, people have figured him out, or he has hit a spot where he, you know, is not going to be successful.
Well,
so he's going to hit that eventually, all rookies.
For the record, you know, the whole amateur GM thing, guys. If you want an amateur GM, I'm going to pass the title a little bit over to Nick Gangstad because, I will sign all of the D-League standouts. Hey, if you guys want to go make some money, Nick Gangstad's your guy.
I will sign you after two games.
D-League guys, Nick Gangstad,
I just think that GM. I think they need to take risks, and Yogi Ferrell's a guy that is a calculated risk, I think, that you could take. Throw a team option on the second year, guaranteed for the rest of this year. You keep him for the rest of this year.
Well, who's
better out there that you're going to get?
I think they're going to.
I guess we didn't know Yogi was out there.
I think they're going to keep him this year because of their, you know, point guard issues. But, like, I don't want to say I'm totally committed after two games. There's a reason why it's a 10-day contract and not a 2-game contract. Like, you have to play the rest of it out.
Of the three guys, he's the best, right? Of the Jonathan Gibson, Pierre Jackson, Yogi Ferrell.
Absolutely.
He's the best by far?
Yeah, I would say that. From what I've seen, absolutely.
He's the only one that plays defense.
Right, from what I've seen, absolutely. But again, I want to see what we're talking about in a week. Because if he doesn't play good against Philadelphia, Portland, and Denver, then we're having a totally different conversation on next week's podcast.
True. And a lot of this has to do with injuries too. If we find out that Deron Williams is going to be out for a lot longer than we think. He's out tonight.
Right.
And so he was listed as probable at first, but then he was out. So he's sort of on the borderline of coming back.
Right.
But him and Barea and Devin Harris have been going in and out.
Right.
So if you find out that one of those guys is out for the year, I think you just go for it with the team option in the second year. So, all right, let's finish up.
Let's finish the contract.
He'll finish the contract. But
I know he will, but let's say what we're talking about after the contract.
I just wanted to make sure that I told you that I'm on Yogi Island, and I am.
And I love Yogi.
I'm
and listen,
willing to
I,
build
I want to say
a
this.
Shack I, on Yogi Island.
I want to say this. I hope you are 1,000,000,000% right.
Okay.
I really do, because I like the guy and I like the kid, and I think he's really well. And I think he's going to play well. I think he's going to live up to what you're saying. But if you're asking me right now after two games, I'm not giving him that contract just yet.
Fair enough. This next upcoming week, from this podcast to the time that we're probably going to do another one, Philadelphia, Portland, Denver, Portland. That is a big week because those are – Portland and Denver are two teams that are –
competition.
That are above the Mavs right now in the standings. What do you think about Portland right now? What do you think about Denver? What do you think about these games coming up?
Well, I think that – before we get there, I think tonight is a big, big game for the Mavericks. And let me explain why.
Because Joel Embiid-less Philadelphia 76ers is as good as Philadelphia has been in the last
right,
few
but
years.
See, here's what I'm trying to say is that they beat the Spurs, right? They beat the Cavs. They won 4 of 5. They should easily beat the Sixers team tonight.
Yeah, this is a take-care-of-business night,
but
finally.
Kind of like in football, this could be a trap game. Mavericks are a little highly confident. You know,
the Browns didn't lose every game this year.
Right. The Mavericks are a little highly confident. They're coming off two big wins against two of the best teams in basketball. You know, Philadelphia is coming in limping. This should be an easy win. They don't play as hard, and then it's a trap, and the Mavericks lose. That's why I say this game is important before Portland and Denver, because they have to take care of business tonight. Go in there, do what you got to do.
At home.
Right. Go in there, do what you got to do. Get ready for Portland. Get ready for Denver. Two teams that I think the Mavs can beat, but at the same time, there's a reason why the Mavericks are, 18 and, 30?
30, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a reason for that. They haven't been a good team all year. They're playing good right now. But take care of business, you know, take one game at a time, and go out there and win games that you're supposed to win.
Yeah. Have you heard about the Raise the Cat thing for the 76ers?
I saw something. I didn't really look into it, but I saw something about it.
So here's the thing. After a win, Ben Simmons posted a picture of him raising his cat up in the air like the Lion King thing.
Right.
And it just became a thing on Sixers Twitter where people will do hashtag raise the cat, and after the win, they'll raise a cat up and like raise their cat up in the air.
Oh, boy.
So if the Sixers, if you see a bunch of pictures of Sixers fans raising cats.
We'll see Simba, even though it's a lion, but a cat.
That is a cat. A lion is a cat.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know, but like, I know a lion is a cat, but like, they're in the same family. They're cousins. But you know what I mean. Thanks for making me look like an idiot.
You did that to yourself, sir.
That's mean.
So coming up, Portland, Denver, it's a big week. Utah after that. The Mavericks have not beaten Utah so far this year. I think they've played them like four times already. It seems like so many times. But those are the teams that are right above them in the standings. So this is going to be a really telling week. Hopefully the Mavericks can continue on with this winning streak, and that they can continue to play well. They're going to make the playoffs.
I think they're going to make the playoffs, and that's good for them.
You got anything else?
No, I don't. I'm good.
All right. So for the Mavs Fanatic podcast, it's been a great week. It's been a really good week.
I cannot complain.
No guest on the show, just me and Taman. So for the Mavs Fanatic podcast, I'm Nick Gangster.
You guys better not turn us off because we're the best in the business. I have to throw it out there.
You have to. All
right.
There you go. I'm Nick Gangster.
I'm Taman T.
See ya.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison, here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO's been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.